Happy Father's Day. We're celebrating Father's Day today, and as we do, if your father is still living, I trust that you've already attempted to make contact and do something special to honor him. If your father is not still living, I pray that you have been reliving some memories that are special to you and your time together. As I think about that, one of the very burned-in images in my mind, and it might seem strange to you, but the joy of sitting by my dad in church and having him hold my hand and squeeze me real hard every once in a while just to show that he loved me. And sometimes if he thought I was misbehaving, usually it's just because he loved me. I have many precious memories. He's been home for 13 years. And I just praise God for having a godly father. Perhaps when you think of Father's Day, the memories are not as pleasant as you would like for them to be. But in such a time, I'm reminded of the scripture in Psalm 27:10. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And we can be very thankful that the Heavenly Father is one who will take us up and will care for us, or that we can have grandparents that can have a positive influence in our lives. So this morning, as we talk about Father's Day and celebrating Father's Day, we are going to look into the aspect of our Heavenly Father. And as you look at your outline, Jesus called God his Father almost 60 times. It's recorded in the gospel accounts. The Old Testament does not present Jehovah as a father figure. I was looking at a commentary this week from the Treasury of David by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and in there he was addressing a portion of Psalm 89, verse 26, where it says, he shall cry unto me, thou art my father. And a commentary that was featured there by Spurgeon said this: when did David call God his father? It is striking that we do not find anywhere in the Old Testament that the patriarchs or prophets called God their father. You do not find them addressing him as father. They did not know him as such. This verse is unintelligible in reference to David, but in regard to the true David, it is exactly what he did say. My father and your father, my God and your God. Never until Christ uttered these words, never until he appeared on earth in humanity as the Son of God, did any man or any child of humanity address God in this endearing character. It was after Christ said, I ascend into my Father and your Father, that believers were enabled to look up to God and to say, Abba, Father. Here you see distinctly that this applies to Christ. He was the first to say this. David did not say it. That's an interesting thought to think about, that in the Old Testament that father image was not there. Yes, there was a relationship of the nation of Israel to Jehovah, but it was not in the view of a father-son kind of a relationship. Yet when we come to the New Testament, we are flooded with the presentation of God as Father as we read and hear what Jesus said about him. And he called him as his father. He called him and declared that he was living in fellowship and communion and obedience to his father. In fact, in what we call the high priestly prayer in John 17, we read, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The intimacy that Jesus had with his father is a tremendous picture for us to emulate and to picture in our own lives. The angel Gabriel, you recall, made an announcement to Mary in Luke 1:32, saying that she was going to bear this miracle baby. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. In verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus is called the Son of God almost 50 times in the New Testament. Obviously, there are a number of passages where he's called the Son of Man. And in those two titles, we see his relationship with the Father, but also his identity with humanity as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The virgin birth shouts the uniqueness of that relationship that Jesus had with his heavenly Father. And although he submitted to Joseph as his stepfather, he had a sonship relationship with the heavenly Father. It's interesting that in queries that were made in Christ's ministry, is not Joseph his father? And the answer is no. Joseph was not his father. And Christ did not try to claim that identity anywhere along the line. In fact, at age 12, you recall when Jesus had gone up to Jerusalem with his parents, and then they spent time looking for him, and they were on the way home, and Mary said, I thought he was with you, and Joseph said, I thought he was with you, and he was nowhere to be found, and they turned around and went back. On the third day, they found him, and as they approached him, he was there speaking with the doctors, the religious leaders there at the temple, and they were disturbed and asked the question that every mother would ask in such a situation, do you not realize what you put us through? And he said, wist you not that I must be about what? My Father's business. And if you read on there in the remainder of that passage in Luke chapter 2, it says, and he went home with them, and he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He submitted to his earthly parents, but friends, he knew his identity and his purpose with the Heavenly Father even very clearly at age 12 as he went forward. God the Father announced that Jesus was his son in whom he is well pleased in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 at the baptism. You recall that when Christ came up out of the water, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. At the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, we find there likewise that God spoke from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Turn with me for a second, if you would, to the Gospel of John chapter 12. In verse 27 we read, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Excuse me, I lost my. For this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spake unto him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. He had announced, Father, glorify thy name. The Father responded back. It's interesting that in the scripture in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7, Psalm 2 is known as a messianic psalm. And in that psalm we read in verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. So in the Old Testament there was that view of the reality of a son, the incarnation of Christ. And so when the fulfillment came, they could connect the dots back to that promise. Hebrews 1:5 says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, which is speaking about the unique position that Christ had in the New Testament economy. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. He didn't do it himself. But instead it says, he that said unto him, thou art my son, this today I've begotten thee. And he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews is identifying the fact that for the Jews they needed to understand Christ as the Son of God. They also needed to understand him in the position of a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek and not being a part of humanity in that sense, but as a higher calling upon his life. Jesus called God Abba Father. Abba is Aramaic for very personal and intimate relationship. It would be most compared with what we would say, Daddy. Daddy. And so the intimacy that is communicated in saying Abba Father is a very, very special and genuine one. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Jesus is there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Think about the pathos, the emotion that was present when Jesus was crying out as he sweat, as it were, drops of blood there in the garden, Abba, Father. And he was there alone. His disciples that he'd asked to pray were sleeping. We also find in that special relationship what he had with his Father in Luke 23:46, he says on the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So from the beginning of Christ's ministry right to the very end, we find that identity. I must be about my Father's business. On the cross, he finished what his Father sent him to do, to die. And he commended himself. He gave himself over to his Father's keeping, even as he gave up his last breath there upon the cross. And we know that the Heavenly Father was satisfied with the offering that he made for our sin through the resurrection. And so we claim that special affection that Christ had for us was displayed by his identity with his Father and us in such a special way. When a person is born again by the Spirit of God, we enter into a special relationship now with Jehovah God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, if you would, please. Romans 8, beginning with verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Can I stop there for just a second? Something that's interesting. How many of you remember in John chapter 8 that there the Jewish leaders, as they malign Christ, they said, we have Abraham as our father. You remember what Jesus said to them? Your father is the devil. Whoa. Okay? Your father is the devil. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he did not, you know, in saying that, he was showing to them that they had not the relationship they claimed and thought they had, and the proof of that was that they would murder him and reject him as the very gift that God gave. So when we come to this verse 14 in Romans 8, as many of us as have by faith trusted in Christ, as are led by the Spirit, we become the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Our position before salvation was one of bondage to fear the wrath of God. The wrath of God. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption. Being brought into the family of God in a very unique way. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. My dad, every once in a while, would say, well, when Dave came, we found him under a rock. I knew that wasn't true because my mama told me so. Okay? My relationship with my earthly father was premised upon not adoption, but upon the very identity that I have between the union of father and mother in that family. But when I was born again by the Spirit of God, the Spirit now bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God, that I am a son of God, that I can call him Abba, Father. What a glorious thing it is, friends, to have a celebration of Father's Day. We have a Heavenly Father. And in that adoption, we are not taken in and treated as second class. We are taken in and treated in first class, because go on with me in verse 17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Co-heirs, joint heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Turn with me next, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that's us, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's the gift that we have. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, or your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I'm going to ask you to go back in your memory. Do you remember the day of your adoption into the family of God? Do you remember the day of your adoption into the family of God? I was 12 years old on an Easter Sunday morning. The pastor preached the message and gave the invitation. And at the invitation, the Spirit of God gripped my heart. I'd heard invitations all my life. I grew up in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, vacation, Bible school. I'd been exposed to church all my life. We had daily devotions around the table. But on that Sunday morning in Easter, when I was 12 years of age, when that invitation came, I couldn't stay in my pew. When I came to the altar, I knew I could say, Abba, Father. I had not that relationship before. Though I'd prayed the Lord's Prayer, though I understood in a sense, in an intellectual sense, when my family called him Father, I did not have that relationship until that very moment on that very day. And God's Spirit in me enabled me to call him Abba, Father. And now when I go to God in prayer, my Bible says I can have boldness into the presence of my Heavenly Father. He loved me. He proved it by purchasing me and making possible my identity with him as a child, but more than a child, as an heir, more than heir, as a joint heir with Christ, and more than that, by giving him his Spirit to live in me, so that I was no longer in bondage, but now I could cry, Abba, Father. You know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to see my Heavenly Father. And you want to know something? He is not going to be old, gray-haired, stumbling along with a cane. We worship God in spirit and truth because he's spirit. But when we are there in the presence of knowing our Heavenly Father, oh, what a glory that's going to be. We'll know what the depths of meaning of Abba, Father, that we never really fully understood here, will be like when we're there with him. What a glory. We're going to know Christ. We're going to see Christ. I understand that. But also going to be in the presence of the Heavenly Father. I have been privileged to no more be a servant, verse 7 says, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Turn with me to Matthew, next chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? I want to stop there for just a second. What do you think the people were thinking when Jesus asked them that question? He's lost it. What's the matter with him? What does he mean? He don't even recognize his own family? But he's asking that question for a reason. Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Listen to me. The will of the Father in heaven is that you might honor the Son and receive him as your Savior. Those that will do the will of the Father, he is excited and pleased to be able to call us sons, and we're able to have that super fellowship with him that he has made possible for us through regeneration. The unsaved, listen to me, cannot legitimately call God their Father. Notice the word legitimately, and notice that I underlined it. There was a statement that was made a number of years ago. It was the universal brotherhood of man, the universal fatherhood of God. You know what's wrong with that? It's a lie. But doesn't it sound good? The universal brotherhood of man, universal fatherhood of God. You know what that message is that it tries to communicate? Everybody gets to go to heaven. Everybody is in free. There's no penalty, no cost, no judgment, nothing involved. Just we're all brothers and we all have one Father. And of course, the idea behind it, so let's just get along and be happy and go merrily on to heaven. But the problem is, it's premised on a lie. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. He's our creator, but we do not have a father-son relationship until we're born again. Think about that for just a second. When you meet someone, when you talk to someone, when you're dealing with someone who's not saved, they cannot legitimately call him Father. And they are not legitimately heirs. They're not members of the family. Wow, that's heavy. But that is reality. Because if it were a case that everybody had the Father, and the Father was going to say, everybody can call me Daddy Father, and there's no punishment and no separation, then that would be, in a sense, to deny the truth of Scripture that man is separated from God. And without salvation, he will be eternally separated from God. Matthew chapter 7 is a very heavy portion of Scripture. It's in the tail part, as it were, of the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with verse 21, Jesus is speaking, and he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And again, I want to repeat, the will of the Father in heaven is that we would receive his Son. Repent of sin, trust Christ as your provision for salvation and redemption. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Friends, listen to me. Religious people who are not regenerated do not have a relationship whereby they can say, Abba, Father. But you know what the deception of religion is? Is that you're doing enough good stuff that God would just have to accept you. It denies the reality, the premise, the foundation that we are already separated from God. He that believes not is condemned already. And so, here are busy people. In verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Can I tell you something? Because of God's Spirit bearing witness with my spirit on the day that I was born again, I do not have to be concerned about standing before the Lord and him say, I never knew you. Some people say, can you know for sure when you die you're going to go to heaven? Yes! I have a know-so salvation. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. I do not have a hope-so salvation. I have a know-so salvation because I can say, Abba, Father, because he's called me a son. And he's positioned me in the family. Look with me, if you would, to our next passage of Scripture, and it's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Friends, you're in or you're out. You're part of the family or you're not. The Lord is making that declaration. Go with me to Luke chapter 13. Beginning with verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What does that say about the universal brotherhood of man and universal fatherhood of God? It's a lie. It's a lie. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without or outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, what? I know you not from whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, you all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come forth from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. In a context, we need to understand something. Jesus is speaking to these Jewish people that are in his audience. And he is really addressing the fact that some of them are thinking in their head, but we have Abraham as our father. And he's saying to them, here's the reality. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to be there, and you are going to be outside. You will not be there. And then he says, and there will be people coming from north, south, east, and west, in other words, Gentiles, and they will be there, and they will be able to say, Abba, Father, but you will not be able to do that. Friends, listen to me today. Listen to me today. There are millions of Jews in the world today that cannot call Jehovah Father. If you needed any other verification for that reality, listen to the heart of Paul. Paul's heart was that they had such a burden for these that were his people. Because he said they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. They don't understand that they're alienated and separated from God. They don't understand that they must accept Christ as their personal Savior. And so these are going to be outside. When the door is shut, when the rapture takes place, when Jews are left behind, the result is going to be, he says, I know you not from where you are. And so in this dispensation, this time in which we're living, that individual that has not been born again cannot legitimately call God Father. You know what? My daughters were spoiled by other people. Now listen to me. Hear me out. And part of what that was they had too many grandmas and grandpas. Every summer, grandmas and grandpas arrive from Texas and Oklahoma and other places. And one of the families that did such a job is when they invited us over to their house for lunch, there was about a 13-course meal because the lady that cooked, loved to cook, did an excellent job, but she just wanted to be sure that she had something that they would like. You know what the rule was in our house? If it's on the plate, eat it. Okay? But they spoiled them. They ruined it. Well, do you like it this way? Do you like it that way? And then they remembered. So the next time they come over, they had all three of those options in front of them. All the things that they would like to have, how they would like it fixed. Okay? So I'm saying that other people spoiled my daughters. But we got in trouble in that process because at one point in time, our daughters were being very spoiled in that way, and they were calling this one lady Grandma. Grandma, Grandma. That was fine until that grandma's granddaughter showed up and threw a fit. She is not your grandma. They are not, Grandma, your grandkids. I'm your grandkid. Friends, listen to me. The unbelieved are not the children of God. They cannot call him Father. Let me share something with you, okay? The reality is, in the mercy of God, he has made provision for mankind in such generous proportion, it's almost as if everyone was his child. He reigns upon the just and the unjust, am I right? He pours out blessings upon all of humanity, and that goodness of God should lead him to what? Repentance. And when it does not lead him to repentance, then what in fact is going on in their heart? They are rebelling against the very one that they could call Father. And they're receiving his gifts as if they deserved them. And then they're presuming that he also owes them heaven and eternal life when his word says just the opposite. You must be born again. There's one last verse. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Part of what we call the Roman road, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord that is being saved is able to call him Father. Abba, Father. And he will call them son or daughter. And he will take them to the place prepared for them. This morning, we're celebrating Father's Day. You know what? If you're here this morning and you're saved, my Father is your Father. Amen? And together we can say, Daddy, Father. We can snuggle up close. That does not demean him, it honors him. Christ gave us instruction that when we pray, our Father, that's open invitation to come to one that will have an open heart to receive and respond to your request. If a child asks for a fish, what's the answer? Will a real father that is a father give him a scorpion? Or he asks for bread, will he give him what? A stone? What's the expected answer of that? No, 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 no. So if we ask our Heavenly Father, will he give us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live in relationship with him as the Father that he is? And as the Father that he is, listen to me, whom he loves, he also chastens and scourges every son which he receives. If I were to tell you this morning all the ways my dad loved me, in that regard, we could spend a while. But you know what? I praise God for a dad that loved me enough to spank me, correct me, discipline me, direct my life in the way it ought to go. And I thank God, my Heavenly Father, that he loves me in the same way. Only more glorious way. Because he loves me, he also corrects me, that he might lead me into a way that honors him, glorifies him, but does something else, advertises him for those that do not know him as Father. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that I can call you Father. I thank you that you're willing to call me son. And I thank you that for everyone that's in this room and everyone that's on planet Earth right now that knows Christ in a personal way, that collectively we are sons and daughters. We are heirs and joint heirs. We are children of our Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're privileged to declare our Father. Father, thank you that you tore down the wall between Jew and Gentile and you made of the two one. So that today it doesn't matter what background anyone has, whether Jew or Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, male or female, we can all call you Father when we're saved. So Father, thank you. May we celebrate you not just today, but every day. And may others see our love of you by how we honor you and obey you and serve you. And tell him about you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me in our hymnals to hymn number 2, How Great Thou Art. Let's sing to our Father.